As winter approaches, improving your home's energy efficiency. We've already had some really cold nights this season. Do they have you thinking about making changes around your home? Perhaps improving the weatherization or installing a better heating system. There are several reasons to do so. A more comfortable home, long-term cost savings, and of course, the climate. A big part of the state's new climate action plan is to install 100,000 more heat pumps in Maine homes, replacing oil in most of them. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we will talk with home heating experts about options available to homeowners, why some are better than others in different homes, and what kind of rebates and incentives are available. What are your questions about making your home more efficient this winter? Maine Calling is next, but first, this news. Welcome to Maine Calling. I'm your host, Jennifer Rooks. Temperatures are going down and heating bills are going up. Today, we will get advice on ways to heat your home more efficiently this season. My guest, Maura Adams, who is Program Director for Northern Forest Center, Dana Fisher, Mitsubishi Electric's Area Manager covering Maine and New Hampshire, and Brian Robinson, Partner and Vice President at Evergreen Home Performance. We invite your questions and comments. Email talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, post a comment to our Facebook page, or give us a call 1-800-399-3566. 1-800-399-3566. Thank you all for joining us on this, what has become an annual program for us and one of our more popular programs. So I will say to the audience to be sure and get your questions in early for this program. I'm going to start with you, Brian. How does someone know if their home is a good candidate for some upgrades this winter?
Great question, Jennifer. Really, it just has to do with whether they feel they are uncomfortable at all in any section of their house, or they feel their heating bills are too much. They'd like to pay less. It's unusual not to find an opportunity between weatherization and efficient supply to drop someone's heating costs by 25% or more. And it pretty much applies to almost every home that I've ever seen in the state of Maine.
Well, let me ask you about that, because heating oil prices are not very high right now. And someone might be saying, boy, I'm thinking about doing some upgrades, but my oil bill has not been recently what it was in, you know, that stretch when and prices were really high several years ago. Maybe not this year, maybe next year or a few years from now. Why now?
Well, imagine if you were spending $4,000 in a peak price year for fuel, and this year you're only spending $2,000. Not that it creates disposable income, but this might actually be a fantastic year to make that investment. Plus, with Efficiency Maine loans, it's really more affordable than ever, especially when you include the rebates that are available both for weatherization as well as for heating supply upgrades.
Okay, and before I move on to the others, can you summarize what kind of incentives there are right now out there from the state?
Yes, so they're all available at efficiencymaine.com, so that's the great reference point. Specifically for weatherization, things like insulating walls, attics, basements, air sealing. There's up to $3,500 for all Mainers for those improvements, and it essentially doubles that, sometimes up to as much as 80% of the installation cost for folks that are within what are called the lower or moderate income levels, which we can sort of talk about later. And then there's also incentives up to a few thousand dollars on the heating side that Dana can probably address better than I about heat pumps and things.
All right. I want to turn to you, Dana, because we just did a program last week on Maine's climate action plan. A big part of that climate action plan is getting a lot more heat pumps into Maine homes. And so in a second, I'm going to ask you to explain what a heat pump is for people who don't know. But before that, I want to ask you, how are you all doing during the pandemic? Has it limited your ability to install heat pumps? And are they on back order right now?
You know, it's been a very interesting and challenging year. And so when the pandemic first showed up in Maine in the March, April timeframe, nobody really knew how to deal with it or what the precautions should be. And so it really closed down a lot of interaction with the industry and homeowners. But as we got into warmer weather, homeowners who were spending more time at home because they were working from home or just not going anywhere, we're all seeking greater comfort in their homes, air conditioning and also anticipation of heating in maybe offices during this winter. And so there's been a huge surge of activity around heat pumps. And all of the installers in the state are, taking steps to protect, their clients and their technicians as well to minimize any risk of transmission during the installation process. So they're all accustomed to this and are taking those steps. And so most installers have been frantically busy for the last few quarters. And in fact, a number of them are booked out even into the next year. So the pandemic has had other impacts as well on the supply chain. So there have been some shortages of different types of equipment because of the high demand and challenges worldwide with shipping. I mean, even, getting shipping containers across the ocean is challenging. So it's been a lot of different difficulties, but the demand is very high for heat pumps right now. All the manufacturers, Mitsubishi included, are trying to do our best to support our network of factory trained quality installers all across the state of Maine.
So practically speaking, if somebody's making that decision right now, practically speaking, they're probably not going to have heat pumps installed for this winter heating season.
No, I think they certainly could. There are installers that are booked out into, January or February, but there's an awful lot of installers out there. And so it's plausible with a couple of phone calls to find folks that might be able to install it earlier than that. But, the sooner you have a heat pump, the sooner you can enjoy the benefits, whether it's heating season or cooling.
Okay. And very briefly, for those who are scratching their head right now and saying, I keep hearing about heat pumps. What the heck is a heat pump anyway? Give me a brief explanation.
Okay. So a heat pump is a heating system and cooling system. It does both depending on what mode you have it in. It's got a one-to-one system, has one outdoor part and one indoor part. They're connected by a couple of copper refrigerant lines. And the indoor unit and outdoor unit circulate a refrigerant between the two systems. It stays in the system throughout the life cycle of the system. And it uses high and low pressure cycles to extract heat from outdoor air in the heating cycle. And because the boiling point of the refrigerant is around negative 50 degrees Fahrenheit, even when it's really, really cold outside, it's able to extract heat from outdoor air and move it into your house and blow it out into your house and heat everything in the space. And then the refrigerant returns at room temperature and goes back outside and returns to its super low temperature as it goes into a low pressure state and extracts more heat. And so the heat pumps, the electricity that's used by them is just the electricity to run the pumps and the fans and circulate the refrigerant. And that's why they can deliver, incredible efficiency, because you're not generating heat from electricity. You're simply moving refrigerant and delivering that heat from outside to inside. Or in the summer, the opposite. The valves reverse, removes heat from indoor air and moisture as well, and delivers that heat to your backyard. So very efficient, and they work to exceptionally low temperatures all the way down to you know, there, our systems are rated to negative 13, but they continue to operate below that. So, you know, it, even when the polar vortex comes through, heat pumps can take care of your needs. I mean, it, you know, very much depends on sizing, but, you know, and appropriate application with your contractor. But that's why we have, you know, quality professional installers all across the state.
More Adams bringing you into the conversation. If somebody thinks about heating with wood in terms of having an old-fashioned wood stove in which they've split the wood and fed it into the wood stove every night, well, that still happens, but that's really not what heating with wood means today, is it?
Sure, it certainly can be. But what people may not be as familiar with are some really modern and efficient ways to heat with wood. So some people are familiar with pellet stoves that are highly efficient. There are also automated wood pellet boilers where the pellets are delivered in bulk, fed automatically to a system that runs heated water around the house, just like a traditional fossil fuel boiler. So it's a way to heat with wood that's as convenient as people are familiar with. And simultaneously, it's helping support the forest economy, allowing people to heat with a renewable source and contributing really well to Maine's communities and forest economy.
Where does, tell me about the wood pellet industry right now in Maine. I know that there were really high hopes for that. How much has it been growing and how much exporting have Maine wood pellets, how much exporting has there been to other parts of the U.S. and parts of the world?
So the pellets are not being exported from Maine. It's largely within Maine and within the region. They're not being exported to other parts of the world. We have a great pellet industry in Maine, supported with some really great advocacy and a lot of business interest in building up this sector. There are several mills, including a newer one that just opened in the past year or two, and there's really significant potential for this industry as we can grow demand for wood pellet heating. As I'm sure your program has covered, there's been a lot of paper mill closures in Maine over the past decade, and that leaves a lot of that lower grade wood with no markets, which causes a lot of ripple effects down the forest economy and even into what kind of good forest stewardship can be practiced. So if we're building demand for wood pellets for heat, wood chips for heat within the state and within this region, that provides a really, really important use of that low-grade wood and helps bolster the economy that's taken a hit in recent years.
And are there incentives for consumers to transition to perhaps a wood pellet system?
There are. So for automated wood pellet boilers, Efficiency Maine has a rebate of one-third of the installation cost, up to $6,000. Just recently, the Public Utility Commission also made a ruling that these new thermal renewable energy credits are going to be applicable to wood pellet boilers. And the very short explanation of that is that it ends up being you're getting credit for the heat you're producing with this renewable energy source. And the amount you're getting currently with current oil prices and current pellet prices is going to lower your cost to about 20% lower than oil and 60% lower than propane once you start selling those thermal RECs. And the details on that are still coming out, but that's going to be information available with the Public Utilities Commission.
All right. So, Brian, as you listen to Maura and Dana, give us some advice about what kind of homes might be best suited for what kind of heating systems. An older home with a warren of small rooms is probably not the best candidate for a heat pump, correct?
Well, they can be an excellent candidate for a heat pump, but you are likely to need more heat pumps because it's harder to get that warm air that Dana describes from that very centrally located interior unit into those rooms. So this is one of the reasons why I know Dana and others advocate kind of a lovely 1-2 punch of make sure that the shell of the building is well insulated and tight so that the rooms retain the heat. Then it's a whole lot easier for a super efficient heat pump to actually for that heat to linger in that room because it's not getting lost immediately through the shell of the building. So open floor plans are far more amenable to the heat pump distribution, but all homes can benefit just in different ways.
All right. And who, and Brian, I'm going to ask you about this for a big picture question. Who about maybe a wood pellet stove? Is this something that's really a terrific option for people who live in rural Maine or all over the state?
I don't think it matters where you are. We've seen them in more urban areas as well as out in the country. The pellets are typically delivered much like oil, sort of from a tanker truck. They get blown in pneumatically, meaning with air, and delivered into a big hopper in your basement. So there are some space requirements, but the beauty of them is they typically use the existing distribution network. So if you've already got radiators in your house, it means you've got heat in every room of the house typically. And so swapping from an oil boiler to a pellet boiler means you have the same quality of heat in each and every room right away as soon as the swap out is fixed.
All right.
As soon as the swap out is affected.
So many questions coming in, and Dana, the first two have to do with heat pumps. An email from Paul: how much is the electricity cost per hour for a heat pump?
Okay, so I mean, it very much depends on how it's being operated and what size system it is that might be operating. I have a relatively small heat pump on my house, and you know, sort of during the shoulder seasons, it typically operates between 300 and 600 watts at any given time. And as it gets colder in winter, it might move up towards 1,000 or even 1,500 watts while it's heating the majority of my small, cozy house here in Portland. But, you know, larger systems will use 2 to 3 times that amount of energy, very much depending, again, on the load. The overall cost of operating the system, though, is pretty low. And Efficiency Maine has a comparison tool to look at what the seasonal costs would be across all different kinds of systems. And even with oil being at its, you know, relatively low level right now, it would still be cheaper to displace all of your heating load for the entire season using heat pumps than using oil or propane. In fact, you know, the only thing that would be a lower cost would be like Rinnai heaters using natural gas or wood stoves that you've got, you know, plenty of free wood or perhaps geothermal, which, of course, is, you know, also incented through Efficiency Maine, but a pretty expensive and extensive project to undertake.
Okay. And before we go to a break, going to this email from Heidi, I heard a rumor that heat pump units are, quote, disposable, meaning few replacement parts are made and few people to service them. So if they break, you must replace the whole unit at a fairly large cost. This has made me pause and reconsider these. Please let us know if this is true. Dana?
That's I'm really glad that question was brought up. The longevity, the expected lifespan of heat pumps on average is expected to be between 15 and 18 years. And Mitsubishi has had heat pumps, mini splits in Maine, albeit for commercial applications and cooling only, since the late 80s and early 90s. And there are plenty of examples of those systems still being in operation. Now, it's important that systems are properly selected and installed with best practices. If they're not, then it can contribute to a shorter life cycle of the equipment. That being said, all systems that are registered through any one of the different manufacturers are able to receive a pretty lengthy warranty, most of them over 10 years. And so that would cover parts for the most part if anything were to fail. But they are extremely robust and reliable and can live in good weather. It's really about, you know, some level of maintenance, making sure that they're checked on periodically by professionals and cleaned. But they can last for a very, very long time.
All right. Well, we are going to take a quick break. We're talking about making your home warm and energy efficient. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Bull Moose, offering an option of curbside pickup on books, movies, CDs, or video games. Curbside pickup is available at checkout at bullmoose.com.
On the next Fresh Air, Maggie Haberman talks about her 4 years covering the Trump presidency for the New York Times. She started covering him before he was president when she was a reporter for the New York Post. She's broken many stories about the Trump White House, and she has incredible sources. Until last year, Trump was one of them. Join us.
And that's coming up later this evening at 8 o'clock here on Maine Public Radio. Throughout this year, Maine Public has celebrated the first 200 years of Maine's statehood with historical information, interesting facts, and personal recollections. During this final month of 2020, you'll hear some new voices sharing our daily history moments, members of the Maine Public staff, many of whom are not normally behind the mic. All of our radio and television bicentennial programming, including On This Day in Maine's History and our This Is My Maine personal recollections, can be found again or for the first time in our bicentennial hub at mainepublic.org.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Today, we are talking about home heating, and joining me, Dana Fisher, Mitsubishi Electric's area manager, and formerly with Efficiency Maine, Maura Adams, program director for Northern Forest Center, and Brian Robinson, vice president of Evergreen Home Performance. Share your comments or questions by email, talk@mainepublic.org. Tweet at Maine Calling, post a comment to our Facebook page, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Going to go to Alan calling from Brunswick. Hi, Alan. Go ahead.
Hello. I am a local real estate agent in Brunswick, so this show is near and dear to my heart. I'm a former science teacher, and I advise all of my clients on energy efficiency issues. And the heat pump upgrade and insulation upgrades are, of course, really important. But one thing that you can do with an existing system that costs essentially no money is to burn, in place of number two heating oil, you can burn a blend of 20% biofuel. A company in Portland called Maine Standard Biofuels sells 20% biofuel that's made from recycled restaurant oil. And it burns exactly the same as number two oil. So if you're going to burn 500 gallons in a year, you can burn 100 gallons of restaurant oil that's been processed into biodiesel and 400 gallons of regular fossil fuel. And you knock 100 gallons of fossil fuel out of the energy economy in Maine. It's a really great product, and it costs exactly the same as number two heating oil from any other source.
Thanks, Alan, for your call. Brian, do you know about this?
Absolutely. What limited oil I use in my house, I burn biofuel. I use wood from a local woodlot. So it's wonderful. It actually has other benefits. It burns more cleanly. So it actually kind of helps to clean your heating system a little bit, or so I've been told by my supplier. So it's a wonderful option to reduce your carbon footprint.
Alan, thanks so much for the call. We're going to move on. Let's see. We'll go to Machias and Ned. Hi, Ned. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm going to give you more of a testimonial than a question, but I built my own solar array, a tracker system last year, and have been looking for ways to use the power. Well, I put a 1,000 BTU heat pump in my house and a 15,000 BTU heat pump in my shop. The house is 2,600 square feet. The shop is close to 6,000. So far this year, I haven't had a fire. I've been, we have wood heat. We're 100% heating both buildings with the heat pumps, and still am not able to use up my surplus solar power. We went to the extent of buying a used electric car to try to use up the extra power we're able to generate. So I just wanted to put in a plug for, the solar aspect, because you can, it's really come to the point where it's feasible to do.
Well, Ned, I really appreciate your call. And this is not what you are doing, but Monday's Maine Calling will be about the community solar that's happening around Maine. But thank you, Ned, for calling and telling us about your experience and your success with your system. We'll move on to Ethan calling from Saco. Hi, Ethan. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking the call. Good to be back on Maine Calling again. I have a outdoor wood boiler. I've had it for about 10 years. And a couple of notes, cautionary notes, and some benefits of it is, the first of all, it's great because you it's safe. There's no fire in the house, and every year when I turn it on, it's great because it heats my domestic hot water and the baseboard, and it ties right into the. System that I have, which is a propane furnace. But it's not for everybody because, you have to stick around the house quite a bit to keep it, you can go 6 hours or 8 hours, actually in overnight, without checking it. There is some cleaning to do with it. But the ones that they're making nowadays have apps. I think Central Boiler has an app that goes with it, so you can check virtually the temperature and stuff. But they're really great because you don't have ashes and to deal with in the house. You don't have smoke. And like with wood stoves, they deplete your oxygen slightly, and this is all outside. So, and you can put it in, if you're handy, you can put it in yourself. I did mine myself, and... it's a pretty good system.
Ethan, and thanks for calling. I was going to see if Maura wants to say more about that. Go ahead.
Yeah, certainly. I'm glad you're having such a good experience with your outdoor wood boiler. These kinds of systems I was talking about earlier are also tied into, can support domestic hot water and also tied into baseboard. One of the beautiful things about the automated wood heating systems, though, are that you don't have to stick around the house. We have worked with people who put in an automated wood pellet boiler so that they could go to Florida for 3 weeks in the summer and not have to worry about their heating system. It's wood pellets that are automatically fed to the boiler. You're not handling wood. You're not having to deal with ash regularly. They're self-cleaning, and the only ash that's produced is like a little teeny suitcase that you take out once a month or once every 6 weeks and put on your garden. So they really are an amazing modern way to heat with wood, and also very safe and reliable, of course. There is combustion because that's how it works. But, it's not like having a propane tank or an oil tank, which is, quite a bit more concerning if you're going to be combusting something.
Ethan, thanks for your call. Moving on to Rockland and Rhonda. Hi, Rhonda. Go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. I'm the AIO Energy Assistance Program Manager in Rockland, and we help fuel insecure families in Knox County with fuel. Part of our mission is to educate our clients on ways to make their homes more efficient, and heat pumps are of particular interest to us and for them. And so we're always looking for programs that may help subsidize those type heat pumps for the fuel insecure. Wondering if you know of any.
Brian, do you know of any?
Well, some municipalities have funds that are available for folks that are fuel insecure. That go above and beyond the state's low-income heating assistance program called LIHEAP. That's typically administered through community action programs. Here in Knox County, that's PennQuis. And each county has a similar program that can help with fuel costs. Those programs, in my experience, have historically not been as agile or well-funded to be able to support fuel
heating system upgrades or weatherization upgrades. But again, this is where Efficiency Maine has really stepped in and is doing such a tremendous job. And as I mentioned earlier, their low-income weatherization and heating program can cover up to 80% of the costs of upgrades. So imagine how a life or a family's life is transformed when 80% of an upgrade can be covered, and then the benefit going forward is their fuel costs are reduced by 50% or more, more than likely, throughout the lifespan of those systems and their house.
Rhonda, and Maine Housing, and Maine Housing has programs related to fuel insecure folks too, that relate to changing out heating systems and installing heat pumps. And so we do have a number of great resources along those lines that help to bring in quite low costs, and the incentives on low income through Efficiency Maine really makes it very, very affordable. And I know that Brian mentioned financing briefly, but Efficiency Maine has financing that's available for homeowners that, there's no upfront cost, and the credit criteria are very reasonable. And so there are mechanisms for Mainers to upgrade their heating systems and be able to have an affordable heat that wouldn't, require, everybody is fearful of when they have to fill the tank, whether the price of oil is low or high. And so having that be more of a monthly bite through an electric bill makes it a little bit more palatable for lower income homes.
Rhonda, thank you so much for your call. Going to go to a question here, an email from Cliff. I'm planning some renovations of my old center chimney cape with an eye towards efficiency in the winter. I'm interested in incorporating a masonry stove and geothermal heat pump. Any thoughts on these systems and potential problems I should be aware of? Who's this a question for? Is this for you, Brian?
Well, I'm happy to step in, and others may wish to chime in as well. I guess I would say, having renovated several hundred capes in the last 10 years, we look at it, and I suggest that all my clients look at it this way, is there's two sides of the equation. One is, what is the building's demand for energy now? And what can be done to reduce that demand? And then secondarily, supply. That's the heat pump. That's the masonry heater. That's the geothermal system. What I think is surprising, at least to many of my customers, is the extent to which their demand can be reduced through weatherization, insulation, air sealing, et cetera, such that the heating system they need is far, far smaller than they might have imagined. And I would suggest that it's quite likely, unless his cape is massive, that there will not be a need for the redundancy of a masonry heater and a geothermal system. And there's some real savings that can occur at that point, where you don't need to have a 12-cylinder engine in a vehicle that only needs four cylinders, so to speak. And I'm sure others maybe want to weigh in as well.
Yeah, I would back that up, Brian. I think you make a great point there about reducing load and reducing demand as much as possible, going with super efficient houses and doing all the weatherization you possibly can. I live in a super energy efficient house, one of the first high performance homes built back in the 90s. But all we need to use is a wood stove we go through one quart a year, because it's that efficient. And if people can reduce their demand for heat, that is a great place to make a first investment. And then all they might need is a pellet stove. They don't necessarily need a large system that ties into the central heat. They could get away with a much more cost-effective and immediate solution. So I like to think about people there being a renewable heating option for buildings of all types and sizes and designs. And there's ways to use wood and other sources, obviously, that meet a variety of needs. So working with a professional to think about what those options are and, again, minimizing need for heat is going to really help control costs to begin with.
Dana?
Yeah, no, I, you know, like by the time you install either one of those systems, which are both, you know, beautiful and lovely and high efficiency, I mean, they're both also very high cost. And by the time you pay for those, you could have had somebody like Brian or, you know, an energy advisor come in and do an awful lot of dense pack cellulose and just lower your load to the point where you could heat the place with a couple of cats. So, you know, there are a lot of ways of approaching this, but a tight, well-insulated home will provide a level of comfort unlike anything else. And then what you use to heat that space, you know, becomes much simpler and much smaller and much less expensive on the front end. So, you know, weatherization is a tremendous way to improve the comfort of your home. Heat pumps can play a role if people are going to energy efficiency. But as Maura said, a pellet stove is local fuel. And can provide some comfort in the winter. And you know, so there are lots of good options.
All right. Well, we are going to take another quick break. When we come back, more of your questions about home heating. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from the Lender Foundation in support of the Colby College Museum of Art, who are bringing the museum to you online at colby.edu/museum. Bristol Seafood of Maine, dedicated to bringing restaurant-quality meals to your kitchen with My Fish Dish, found in the freezer at your local Hannaford. And Cherished Possessions, offering tables and desks suitable for homes, camps, and apartments. CherishedPossessions.com.
I'm John Keimel, Radio Operations Director at Maine Public, and on this day in Maine's history in 1861, Jonathan Greenleaf Eveleth of New Gloucester passed away. The son of a leather tanner and boot and shoemaker, Eveleth founded the first oil company in America with George Bissell in 1854. Eveleth and Bissell initially invested $5,000 to purchase and lease over 200 acres of what they believed were rich oil fields in Pennsylvania. The company collected oil in trenches and sold small quantities at high prices, $1.50 a gallon, primarily for medicinal purposes. Both men believed in oil's economic potential and are credited with launching the American petroleum industry. Happy birthday, Maine!
On This Day in Maine's History was created in partnership with the Maine Historical Society and made possible through the generous support of Dean Wealth Advisors, the Maine Seacoast Mission, and listeners like you.
I'm Tanya Mosley. We check in with the curators of Black Futures, a new book that takes on the ambitious effort to archive this moment we're living in through photographs, music, and poetry.
Magic, my man, is you turning my body into a thousand smiles. Black magic is your touch, making me breathe.
That's next time on Here and Now.
And Here and Now is coming up at noon here on Maine Public Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today on our program, what to consider when it comes to home heating options and energy efficiency. Joining us, Brian Robinson with Evergreen Home Performance, Dana Fisher with Mitsubishi Electric, and Maura Adams with the Northern Forest Center. Join our conversation at 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. Going to go to Eric calling from Bangor. Hi, Eric. Go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. Thanks so much for taking the call. I just wanted to make a quick plug if I could. I work for Orkin out of Bangor. We're a pest control company. But one thing that probably a lot of people are not aware of, we carry a product, actually a solid product, called Orkin Therm. And it's a registered pesticide, but it's also a cellulose insulation that we blow in. So, especially during this time of year, I've seen a lot of attics that are under-insulated. So, it's a great product, and it is something that we carry and that we install.
Eric, thanks for that call. Brian, why don't we talk about insulation for a minute and the importance of it?
Sure. Thanks for asking. So, insulation is the sweater that your house is wearing to keep it both, to retain the heat in the winter, as well as to sort of repel the heat or keep in the cool, if you will, in the summer. So there's a huge variety of materials that, that have been utilized over the years. And currently, some of the best options are, and I think Maura would appreciate this, are cellulosic. So they're made from wood. They're made from ground up trees, some of which have had a first life as a newspaper or a magazine or, heaven forbid, a phone book, if anyone still remembers those. It gets ground up and mixed in with boric acid that, as your last caller noted, repels insects and can be pumped into spaces that are otherwise almost inaccessible in an old house. Maine's housing stock is tremendously old. The average house in Maine is 75 years old, and there wasn't a lot of insulation being installed 75 and none 100 or 150 years ago. So we've got tremendous products and tremendous ability to get things into places and to transform houses that may be 100 or 200 years old to function very much like a more modern, recently built home. So insulation is the sweater, air sealing is the windbreaker. And again, that always makes great sense to think about starting there for comfort and efficiency and then following up with efficient supply, whether it be a pellet stove, a wood stove, a boiler, a heat pump, etc.
Brian, let me ask you about fire safety. Is cellulose insulation, does it make your home more at risk of catching fire or fire spreading?
That is a tremendous question. You would think, hey, it's made of wood, it's going to burn. The amazing thing is that the boric acid is introduced to the cellulose to make it fire resistant. And in fact, firefighters tell me, including one of my partners who used to be a Portland firefighter, that the buildings last longer when the walls are filled with cellulose because it doesn't allow air to move through them and it doesn't combust. So it keeps the structure intact longer. And its air sealing qualities help actually suppress fire. So it really, an uninsulated house is a little more dangerous than one that's insulated with cellulose, believe it or not.
All right, a question from Jan on Facebook. I'd love to hear some low-cost, high-impact thing renters can do. For example, do in-window heat pumps exist? What's the best alternate heat source for renters to use when the power is out? Dana.
Boy, wouldn't it be nice? No, we at this point in time, there really aren't heat pumps that operate at cold temperatures that could be used in windows. There are great incentives for landlords, and they can tap into all the efficiency main incentives on residential heat pumps to get those installed, and they can also take advantage of the financing. And the argument to landlords to do this is that, I mean, it's a couple fold. First of all, their tenants are going to be more comfortable year round, but it also, it takes the extra effort off of any central heating system and puts it onto the heat pump. So it might delay any major upgrades that would have to happen with a central heating system infrastructure. So that's probably a good approach for renters who may not have landlords that are interested in taking that step. Things like air sealing inside of the house can be done and accomplished reasonably easily. Anywhere that you feel a draft is an opportunity to use some relatively inexpensive caulking or weather sealing. Just a little bit of effort and a small number of dollars on windows, whether it's using plastic coats or rubber insulation, can make a difference in draftiness. And, I know from my time at Efficiency Maine and as an energy auditor myself that, about 40% of heat loss in most buildings is related to air flow out of the building. So to the degree that you can limit draftiness in the house, you'll be more comfortable.
An email here from Bernice, and this will be for you, Maura. Bernice writes, a few drawbacks about pellet stoves that aren't being mentioned. One, they don't function during a power outage, of which Maine has many. Two, if you don't buy pellets in bulk, they use an awful lot of plastic packaging. And three, I'm not sure how much energy is used to make the pellets. I suspect more than cutting firewood for a typical wood stove. Maura.
Yeah, I think those are great points of comparison with a traditional wood stove. Like any other heating source other than a wood stove, if you lose power, you will lose heat if you have a pellet stove or a pellet boiler. But that's going to be the experience with oil, propane, heat pump, anything. So that is just a reality, unless you're off-grid, like the gentleman who called earlier. So he has that advantage. But that is definitely something that you're only going to get with a wood stove. Plastic packaging is sort of a necessary evil unless you do get the pellets delivered in bulk. There are some devices that you can use even for somebody with a pellet stove where you can get them delivered in bulk, and then there's basically a spigot. You put the pellets in a bucket and you feed them to your pellet stove. So that's a way to avoid that. And then in terms of the energy used for producing the pellets, we commissioned an independent life cycle analysis on this a few years back where we wanted to know, given all the inputs for making pellets in the northern forest region and comparing that to all the inputs for moving oil and propane and all the carbon emissions associated with that, what's the difference going to be? And found that even the manufacturing production included, switching from oil or propane or natural gas to wood pellets made in this region cut carbon emissions by 54% and on up and increasing as time goes on. So, yes, there is an impact there, but it's still going to be substantially better than heating with oil or propane. And even, you know, the renewability or energy impact of using heat pumps is really based on what is the electricity source for those heat pumps. If you're getting your electricity from your own solar panels or from community solar, like the gentleman who called earlier, that's awesome. If you're getting it from the grid, it's the environmental impact of using those heat pumps is totally dependent on what that electricity is being produced with, whether it's coal or natural gas or hydro or whatever else. So that's just another point I wanted to get in there relative to renewables and why you can be so confident that heating with regionally made wood pellets is going to be a good decision from a carbon and environmental perspective.
An email here from Barbara. Does rebate money run out? I know of someone that couldn't get it after installation because the money ran out. Brian.
Yes, it can theoretically run out. Efficiency Maine does a great job of keeping track of what they've got coming into the coffers and what they're spending. I believe, and Dana could perhaps weigh in on this, but in my experience, which dates back from the first Efficiency Maine rebate in the state, that has happened extremely rarely that the rebates have run out. So it's not something that I think anybody really needs to be concerned with. But again, you should absolutely be in close contact with, you know, your professional energy auditor and installer of whatever you're installing to get that reassurance, or better yet, check directly with the Efficiency Maine website to see if there's any indication that there's likely to be a loss of rebates. But I think it's a fairly non-issue in my experience. Dana, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, no, there continues to be funding for the programs. There continues to be support, and the team at Efficiency Maine tracks that rebate level very, very closely. The old adage is the best way to get the available rebates is to act sooner than later. So, you know, the rebates and the amounts change from time to time, and you know, that's normal and natural as they try and foster best outcomes for the precious dollars that they're granted with. Things happen and change. The best way to get the rebates is to take advantage of them now. That being said, and concurring with Brian, gaps in funding are very, very infrequent.
All right, we'll go to Barney calling from Reedfield. Barney, we're running out of time, so if you could be quick, that'd be great.
Yep, I was wondering, do they have a heat pump that will heat water? I have a radiant heat in my floor that I love, and I installed it myself, so it's a good source of heat, a good type of heat in the house. Is there a heat pump that just heats water other than like a hot water, domestic hot water heater?
Dana?
Yeah, no. Thank you. It's interesting. We've got a lot of radiant homes in Maine that would really benefit from what would be called air-to-water heat pumps. And that's what's used in big chunks of Europe. And Mitsubishi is working on bringing systems like that to the United States. And we've been trying to for some time. So I wouldn't tell people to hold their breath and forestall getting a heat pump installed. An air-to-air one, but there are intentions to have air-to-water units in the U.S. marketplace. So that is an option. And, I just wanted to chime in on one of the previous things about the network and availability of people to work on systems. Maine has perhaps the most robust network of installers and the fastest rate of heat pumps currently being installed in the country, with very few exceptions. And so this industry is here, it's here to stay, and more technicians are being trained all the time. And, I've been involved in with a personal objective of helping Maine move off of oil for more than a decade. I'm going to continue to support that effort and all the network of installers. And yeah, I'm greatly appreciative to be on this program and have folks like Maura and Brian continuing the charge with me. Whether you're choosing insulation as your first measure or moving to a local renewable fuel or to heat pumps, we're all in this together, and we can all lower the cost of heating our winters and make Maine a more prosperous place.
All right. Well, that's great. We're going to move to Scott in Belfast. Scott, we just have a few seconds. Can you ask your question quickly?
I sure can. I hear everything in Maine. We're new here. We're building a home in the spring and need to centrally heat it. And I hear everything talking about mini splits, which I always consider sort of a portable solution. Central system heat pumps, do they qualify for the rebates as well? And why don't you hear much about them?
Dana, quickly.
Yeah, very quickly. There are multi-zone systems that can accommodate and receive rebates and heat entire homes with multiple zones. We also have very large one-to-one hyperheat ducted systems. They're not currently eligible for incentives in Maine, but it may be the right choice depending on your house. But even a house that would use 1,000 gallons of oil in a hot air furnace system, you could put in our 42,000 BTU output capacity unit and displace more than 90% of that without.
Okay, we got to go. Thank you, Scott, for your question. And thank you all of you for being on the program today. The voice you just heard, Dana Fisher from Mitsubishi Electric, Maura Adams from the Northern Forest Center, and Brian Robinson at Evergreen Home Performance. Today's sound engineer, Lucy Suchek, Maine Calling, produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. I'm Jennifer Rooks. This is Maine Public Radio.